Okay. I can't move too far around with that. You got the chain. Oh, goodness. It's so good to be here. I want to tell you, I sure love your pastor and his wife. They're just so wonderful. And I sure love all of you. You know, through the years, you guys supported us when we were down Central Point, Oregon, and just amazing. Just can't tell you how much you mean to all of us. And I'll tell you a little story, though. One of the men at church got me one of those Amazon things, those screens, the screen ones. And you put them there and that, you know, you ask them all kinds of questions. But he said, oh, you can get sermon audio on this. And I said, oh, really? And he says, yeah. He says, I'll set the home church to our church. I said, no, you don't do that. I said, my home church is in the Dalles. I said, I don't listen to my own messages. I listen to Brother Norm. So there you go. There you go. Come on. It's just an honor to be here. It's an honor. I count it a high privilege and an honor every time to step into the pulpit. I know your pastor does too, and I know Mike does, and Mike and Lauren as well. And it's just an honor. It's such a blessing. So I pray that the Lord will bless the messages this week. And when Brother Norm asked me to come out, right away, the Lord put on my heart John chapter 17. Right away. Right away. There's so much comfort found in this chapter. Amen. So much comfort. It just exalts our sovereign God, that He is absolutely almighty and all powerful and all sovereign over all things visible and invisible. There is nothing that happens in this world without Him knowing. Nothing. Nothing outside His permissive will. And He is, let me tell you, you know this, He's absolutely sovereign. Absolutely sovereign. There's not a maverick molecule in this universe. Not one. Not one. Not one. In this chapter, we see the God-man speaking. And let us remember that He's the great God manifest in the flesh. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's called the Word of God in John chapter 1. And in this chapter, we get a glimpse. We get a glimpse of His prayers. And the Holy Spirit, He's preserved this for us. And I want us, as we're going to look at the whole prayer. And then we're going to look at the sections. It's broken down into three sections. The whole prayer is broken down into three sections. And so tomorrow night we'll look at the first section. Next night we'll look at the second, and then we'll look at the last section. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, as we're reading this is the Master speaking. This is our Lord. This is our King. This is our Redeemer. And He's praying to the Father. And I want us to take note of how many times He makes reference to those that Thou hast gavest me. See, God the Father gave Christ to people. They're called the elect of God in the Scriptures. We don't know who they are, so we preach the gospel and leave the saving up to God. He out goes the message. We're just, Norm, ever since you did that trumpet thing at church, everybody still talks about that. The gospel preacher just blowing on a trumpet. That's all. Just blowing on a trumpet. And the message goes out. Goes out for God's glory. So this is the high priestly prayer of our great high priest. And he prayed this just before he went to the cross, just before he went to the tomb, and then just before he assumed up to glory. Let's read verses 1 to 5 right now. The scripture declares this. These words spake Jesus, and lifted His eyes up to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. Who has power? Who has the power over all flesh? That means every one of us. That means believers and unbelievers. He has power over all flesh. that he should give. Salvation's of the Lord, that he should give eternal life to as many, here's the first mention, as thou hast given him. Now, this is the master saying this too. And then he says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. There's only one true God. His name is Jehovah. There's only one God. And Jesus Christ, now look at this, whom thou hast sent. Christ was sent by God the Father. He left the glories and splendors of heaven being sent by the Father. And it continues here. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So he was sent by the Father. And we see here, he was with the Father before the world was. Oh my. He's fully God and fully man. This is none other than the Word of God incarnate speaking these words. And we believers, we need to be comforted, don't we? We need comfort while we go through this world. It's a world of tribulation, isn't it? It's a world of trials. You know, James says that we're going to fall into diverse trials. It says temptations, but the word there is trials in the Greek. Trials. And oh, we've all went through trials, haven't we? But isn't it amazing? I love looking at this. I look back in my life, even before the Lord saved me. I see different things I went through. You see that? See different things you went through? Has the Lord always delivered you through them? Ever since you've been a believer, you look back. Look what the Lord's done. Glory to his name. Praise his mighty name for the wondrous things that he's done for us. And this just shows us that he's absolutely sovereign. You know, he cares for us so much. He loves us so much that even the very hairs of our head are numbered. That's how intimately he knows his people, his elect. That's how intimately he knows us. We can't even count the hairs on our head. He knows everyone. He knows that. What comfort that can bring us. What joy in the midst of sorrow that can bring us. Oh, he's such a great God. And verse 2 just shows us his sovereignty by the very words he speaks. He says, now who's given him power? The one who sent him. And remember, Christ is, while he's on this earth, he's totally subservient to the Lord. He's in full obedience to the Father. My, oh my. And it says here, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give. Who gives eternal life? Well, it's not by a decision man makes, is it? It's not by praying a prayer or walking an aisle. According to this verse, this scripture verse, says that he should give eternal life to everyone? No, but to as many as thou hast given him. Given to him by the Father in eternity. And do we not marvel as God's people that we're included in that number? It's amazing. God's sovereign over all things. We see that right here. Christ is absolutely sovereign. And we see here that God is absolutely sovereign in salvation. In these words proclaimed by the Master. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's about to go to the cross. He's about to go and accomplish that for which he was sent. Why was he sent to this world? To save his people from their sins. Norm gave me a tract today. And in this track, it said, paradise or hell, the choice is up to you. Well, that's not what this verse says, is it? No. So that's a lie then. That's a lie. Because if it was up to any of us, we'd never choose Christ. Praise God, he made us willing in the day of his power. Praise God, the Holy Spirit regenerated us. Right? Gave us faith to believe, and we ran to Christ, didn't we? Because otherwise, I was listening to Rupert a while back, and he said, a team of wild horses can't stop someone who the Lord's regenerated, who the Holy Spirit's regenerated. A team of wild horses couldn't stop him from coming to Christ. Couldn't stop him. My. That's an effectual power of God, the Holy Spirit. And God, we see here clearly, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He has all power, beloved. All power, all might. So he's about to go to the cross. He's about to die for the sins of his people. The sinless one is about to give his life for sinners. He's about to offer himself up as God's Passover lamb. The great substitute. And who have we sinned against? We sinned against God, didn't we? So who does he offer himself up to? To God the Father. As the substitute of his people. The sinless one. The just one. Dying for the unjust. That's us. And this is close to the last hours of his earthly life. And we're getting a glimpse, beloved, into the blessed communion that our Lord Jesus Christ had with the Father. Blessed communion. And as Norm and I were talking about the other day, he's about to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All he's known is blessed communion. And Henry Mahan wrote in a sermon, I told Norm, I never forgot this, one of the sermon notes Norm has. He said, God forsook God. And why did he do that? For you and I, beloved. What love. That is immeasurable love. You can't even plumb the depths of that love, can you? It's immeasurable. Look at verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness. Not by anything we do. Salvation is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Right? And God, you know what God does? He reveals himself to us. Because otherwise we'd never know him. We were groping in the dark before the Lord regenerated us, before we were born again. We were groping in the dark, weren't we? You ever get up in the middle of the night and I find it happening more and more the older I get. You know, I even have my wife leave a light on now for me because I've ran into the door too many times, right? And you're groping, aren't you? You have your hands about, right? You're trying to get in. That's how we were. We were just groping in the dark. Had no clue who God was. We were in darkness. Right? We've been translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Oh, it's wonderful. And you know why? All because of the love of God in Christ. That's the only reason. We're saved for Christ's sake. And only because of him. No other reason. My. And God reveals himself to his elect. And he reveals himself as the one true living God. Just like Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, God reveals himself to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, that's by the power of God the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. You must be. You must be. And you know, modern religion has replaced Holy Spirit regeneration, we like to call decisionalism. Bow your head and repeat this prayer. And then they say, now you're saved. Where's the Holy Spirit? You know what C.H. Spurgeon used to say, and I love this. He used to say, God can save you in your seat without you moving a muscle. Because it's an operation of God. It's a heart work. And we who are the people of God, we've experienced that. We've experienced that. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Oh my. And we see here again in verse 3 that God sent Christ. Look at this. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He He's sent by God the Father. He's sent. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 1, 21. And then verse 4, I'll read it while we're turning there. Christ says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know, Christ finished the work of salvation for his people. When he cried on the cross, it is finished. In the Greek, that's it is perfect. Do we need to add anything to perfection? Can we add anything to perfection? No, if we add man's works, we ruin it. But praise God, our salvation is perfect, complete, full. And forgiveness of all our sins. And the Greek word for finished means to complete. To complete. Literally to accomplish, to make perfect. The same word is used when Christ cried, it is finished. Finished. Nothing to be added to it. Look at this. Why was God sent? Why did God the Father send the Lord Jesus Christ? See, the track I read today, it said, well, it's your choice. It's your choice. Well, if it was man's choice, we would never choose God. Because we're born dead in trespasses and sins. The scripture declares us to have to be enemies of God in our minds by wicked works. That's how we are. That's how we're born. My, oh my. And look what it says here. And remember, when Christ cried on the cross, it is finished. It's perfect, right? Look at this. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. You know that tract never mentioned sin? It didn't mention sin at all. The very reason Christ came was to save his people from their sins. I'm so thankful for that. Are you? Isn't that wonderful? Because we're sinners from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, right? And even after we're saved, we're still sinners. But praise God, we're saved sinners. Right? My, oh my. It's amazing. And the perfect sin atoning work of God. It was perfect. The work of salvation that Christ wrought on the cross was absolutely perfect. So perfect that God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You can't say that about me. Now you can say that about me in Christ. And that's the only place, right? And you too, only in Christ. But outside of Christ, we're unprofitable servants. My, oh my. God is so good to us. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. This passage here is absolutely incredible. Colossians chapter 2. And let we who are the beloved of God, the born again, blood-washed saints of God, let us marvel at the truth that's set before us, again, by the Holy Spirit of God, the true author of the scriptures. He actually sets this up before us, right? And remember, too, as we're reading the scriptures, he's the true author. And these scriptures are written for God's people to comfort us, to show us our great Savior. The scriptures are all about Christ. And who's the object of our faith? Christ. Christ and him alone. Look at this, Colossians chapter 2. This is just, oh. Starting in verse 9. For in him, being Christ, dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's God incarnate in the flesh. And look at this. And ye are complete in him. Do you know the word complete there means to fill abundantly? You can't get another drop. My buddy of mine who reads Greek, I was talking to him about this word. He said, Wayne, that means it's so full, you can't add a drop. If you add a drop, it's going to overflow. This is a reality for us. We are complete in Christ. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ. This is a truth that Paul's setting forth here, but actually the Holy Spirit is setting forth through the pen of Paul. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now he's told us in John 17:2 that he is all power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, he starts talking here about the new birth. And remember, our Lord said, you must be born again. You have to be born again. Look at this. This is magnificent. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith, look at this, of the operation of God. We are born again by the operation of God, by his power, by his might. It's wonderful. By the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that raises us from our dead natural state. And then he says, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, born again, together with him, having forgiven you some of your trespasses? No, there's not one left. God says, I don't remember your sin no more. Look at this. A-L-L. All trespasses. Well, some folks, you know, you tell them that and they say, well, how can you say your future sins are all forgiven? All my sins were future 2,000 years ago. Every single one of them. And if Christ paid for all my sins, and he did, praise God, then all of them are forgiven. Every single one of them. And then he says this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. The blotting out there is to whitewash in the Greek. You ever seen a wall that has graffiti or something on it, and they put whitewash on it, and it covers everything? There's nothing left. And the ordinances here, in those days, they used to have a list of ordinances that were against us. Could you imagine all the ordinances that were against us? All our sins blotted out, whitewashed into the precious blood of Christ. So much so gone so far that God says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. My, what salvation in Christ we have. And look at this. That was against us. All those were against us. Think of this. The law of God was against us. The justice of God was against us. The ordinances, our sins were against us. He took it all out of the way. It was all contrary to us. Took it all out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Triumphing there is like the Roman generals when they came in after a massive battle and they had a triumph. They'd come in a golden chariot with a laurel on their head. It was the greatest honor that a Roman general, a Roman citizen could ever have. Our Lord triumphed over all our enemies. Who's our greatest enemy? Ourselves. Sin. Triumphed over our sin. Triumphed over the devil. Right? Triumphed over all who are against us. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Oh my. See, our salvation is complete in Christ. Complete. And we are complete in him. He's the head and we're the body. It's absolutely incredible. I ask you, has God not richly blessed his people in Christ? Has he not richly blessed us? Has his grace not super abundantly prevailed in our lives? My, we can't even keep ourselves. And he keeps us by his grace and his mercy. Can't even save ourselves. And he saves us all according to his mercy and his grace. My. And then he's going to take us home. Be with him forever. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Oh, what a day that'll be. My, oh my. So do you know we're the richest people in the world? Bill Gates got nothing on us. He's got earthly wealth, but we have spiritual wealth only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through him. My. And that word complete, again, it means to make full, to fill completely. Figuratively, this word means to fill, supply abundantly with something, to impart richly. Oh, we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we have justification before God. We're rendered innocent by the work of Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have sanctification. We're made holy in Christ. Holy in Christ. All wisdom comes from our great Lord who is wisdom. He's all our wisdom. Righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Jehovah Sekindu, the Lord our righteousness. And you know what's revealed in the gospel? The righteousness of God. Who's the righteousness of God? Christ Jesus our Lord. He's revealed in the gospel. And think of this too. Remember the law was against us? It's totally satisfied. It's totally, it has no claim on the believer. We are absolutely free in Christ. Free. Remember the justice of God that was against us? It's been so extinguished that there's not even a wisp of smoke coming up from off of it. It's extinguished. The wrath is extinguished. I love that song, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. And I used the illustration one time preaching, and it just, when I saw it and I read it, it just filled my eyes with tears. And I often think of when he's our shield. I often think of how in the desert, back in those times, and they still have them, they get these sandstorms that come. And it's like you find shelter behind a huge rock. And you tuck in under that rock, right? And you're safe. We're tucked in under Christ, and that wrath of God is beating on him. Beating on him. Beating on him. And we're in Christ. We're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. My, oh my. And he endured it all so that there's not even a wisp of smoke left of the wrath of God against us. It is finished. Finished. And then we have a full pardon of all our sins. A full pardon. Every single sin we've ever committed or will ever commit is absolutely forgiven. Now, it doesn't give us a license to go out and go crazy, right? People say that. Oh, you preach that. You preach that. The people you preach to, they'll go out and sin as much as they want. No, they won't. The love of Christ constrains us from sin. That's what it does. It's amazing. A full pardon of all our sins. Again, so much so that God says, I don't remember any of your sins. I don't remember them anymore. As far as the east is from the west, you know, if you keep going west around the globe, you're never hit east. You'll always be going west. And if you keep going east, you're never hit west. The reason the Lord gave us that analogy is because if you go north and south, you're going to hit the poles, right? Gone. Never to be remembered anymore. Glory be to our God, our great God, for sending his Son, the Word of God, to this world to save us from our sins. And something to take notice of this chapter, we're going to read the whole chapter here in a few minutes, is that there are 26 verses in John chapter 17. And I want us to take note as we read this tonight, how much our Lord speaks of those who the Father has given him. Let's read this wonderful chapter. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. There's the first mention. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. See, we never know God unless he reveals himself to us. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. There's the second mention. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. There's another one. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Take note, it says, whom thou hast given me. Whose were we first? The Father's. By choice. We were the Father's by choice. We're chosen in Christ. Isn't that amazing? And now Christ has given us back to the Father. Oh my. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. For now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Again, there's another mention, that's the fourth one, that they may be one as we are. Well, I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou hast given me. There's number five. I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. No, he was praying for his apostles there. Now look, he's going to pray for all the elect here. That's you and I. That's you and I. Our Lord prayed for us. 2,000 years ago, every single one of his people. He knows us so personally. Right? We're his sheep. Look at this. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one as thou art, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will, that they also which thou hast given me, there's the sixth time it's mentioned, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, oh, what a title. The world hath not known thee, but I've known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a magnificent prayer. My. In the preceding chapter of this, our Lord had preached the sermon to tell the apostles that he was going to send a comforter. Mm-hmm. And that's for us too. He's sent a comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, that he should soon come. They faced persecution for their faith, he told them, but their sorrow will be turned into joy. Then he comforted his disciples by telling them that he'd overcome the world. He's overcome it. And what comfort that brings we who are the people of God. He's overcome the world, beloved. We're living in here, and sometimes we think, what's going on, Lord? But he's in full control. He's absolutely sovereign. He's overcome the world. And notice he didn't pray for us to be taken out of the world. He prayed that we'd be kept. We're kept by the power of God. Oh, my. What a blessing, what a comfort that we're able to listen to this high priestly prayer of our Lord and Savior. What a blessing for us. And marvel that the Holy Spirit of God has preserved this for us. He's preserved this for us, this prayer. And I believe to comfort us today. When I read this prayer, I get such comfort from it. My. In this prayer, we see that our great God is all power. We see, and we're going to look at this further on, that he has loved us. God the Father loves us like he loves Christ. He loves us. God the Father's not like our earthly father. God the Father loves us with an everlasting love. An eternal love. And he's proved that by sending his son to be the sacrifice for our sins. He's manifest his love for us, hasn't he? And that's why we're in awe that he saved us. That he saved worms like us. Oh my. So after finishing his sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ here follows it up with this prayer. And these are the three sections that we'll be looking at in the next three nights. The first section is in relation to himself. He's praying in relation to himself, verses 1 to 5. Next, he offers up a prayer for the apostles, which is verses 6 to 19. And then lastly, he prays for all the elect, his whole church, in verses 20 to 26. And the communion of our Lord Jesus with the Father is threefold. In the first five verses, he's praying concerning himself and his desires. Look at verse 1 again. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. It's here. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So what's Christ's first desire? To glorify God. To glorify the Father. His first desire. And our Savior here is... He's thinking of his intimate relationship that he has with the Father. He says, thy son. And take note, this prayer is personal. It's personal. And the first expressed desire maintains the sense of relationship that he has with the Father. He just wants to glorify him. The hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. He's expressing his desire that the Son might be glorified. Oh, and that the Son may glorify the Father. So we see the deepest passion of our Lord Jesus Christ was to glorify God. And how is he going to do that? By the sacrifice of himself. Amen. By the redeeming of his people with his own precious blood. Paying everything God demands for their souls. My. And then we reach his second desire in verse 5. He says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And notice again how personal this is. Glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He has a desire to return to heaven. you remember? He left heaven. Angels were falling down before him and worshiping him. Worshiping him. And in his humiliation, he comes down to the sin-cursed world. Perfect holiness. To redeem us, to purchase our eternal souls. What love! Not only is the love of the Father manifest in sending Christ, but the love of God the Son is manifest in him giving his life. And then the love of God the Holy Spirit is manifest in his regenerating power, performing an operation of God upon us, born again of the Holy Spirit of God. My. And the only way that he could go back to glory was through the cross. And he knew it. He knew it. He knew it. Scripture says he set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. Then he expressed his three desires for his apostles. Keep them in thy name, that they may be one even as we are. Keep them from evil and sanctify them in the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. We see this in the following verses. Look at John 17:11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. The only way we don't go off astray is because we're kept by the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's so wonderful. So wonderful. And then we see in verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. And then we see in 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Those are his three desires for the apostles. My. And the first desire, again, is for the apostles. Keep thou through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are, that they may be in glory with us. My. You know, a tract said, hell or paradise, it's up to you. I'm glad that God chose me before the foundation of the world in Christ. Are you? Oh, my. My, oh, my. And in verse 20, we see the Lord praying for all the elect of all the ages who would believe on him through the word of the apostles. And what did the apostles preach? They preached Christ and him crucified. What did Paul preach? He preached Christ and him crucified. They didn't preach 50 ways to be a better Christian, did they? No. Or how to know the will of God. Norm showed me a picture. This guy's, Lord, what should I do? What's your will? And it shows a hand with coming down from heaven with a Bible. You know God's will in his word. He speaks to his people in his word. That's where he speaks to us. Through the Holy Spirit of God. You ever notice sometimes you can read a passage and you're like, you don't see nothing. You don't see anything. You're thinking, oh, okay. I don't see anything there. And then a year or two later, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you're reading, you go, oh my goodness. See, the Lord just illuminates the scriptures that we need when we need them. He reveals himself to us. Otherwise, we never know. We never know him otherwise. And look at this. He's praying for all the elect of all the ages, all who would believe. Look at, neither pray I for these alone, verse 20, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. This is the third section of this wonderful prayer where Christ is praying for his people. For those who would believe on his name. That's you and I. That's you and I. We believe what the apostles preached. We believe in Christ Jesus and him alone for salvation. There's no other way for salvation. Amen. Not by any works we do. Oh. You add a pinprick of man's works to grace, it's no longer grace. You just made it void. We're saved by grace alone plus nothing. Through Christ alone. That's the only way we're saved. And we've been taught that. There was a time when we didn't believe that. But praise God, we believe it now, don't we? And we rejoice. We rejoice in that wonderful truth. And all who are members of the one church of God, they are so because they've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And they've been granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we say, hallelujah. What a great God. Let's read verses 20 to 26 again. Look at this. He's praying for us here, beloved. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them. That's Christ in us, the hope of glory, beloved. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. We're going to look at that specific part the last day on Sunday. Man, look at that. Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. See, God's love's unchanging, isn't it? It's eternal. It's only found in Christ, nowhere else. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from before the foundation of the world. Well, we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, aren't we? Christ is a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. My, oh my. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Again, he's bringing before the Father the whole church. In the one desire, the one determination we see that's brought forth concerning his church is brought forth in verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. He desires that all believers will be one with him and the Father. Remember, our Lord's he's the head, and we're the body. We believers are the body of Christ. And we'll soon be all gathered up together in glory. One day we're going to all be gathered up together in glory to be with the Lord forever. Forever. To worship and adore him forever. What a great day that'll be. And we're going to glorify God forever. And we're going to glorify God with no sin. See, we praise and worship God while we're here on this earth, but we're still sinners. We have no sin up there. Yeah. Oh, perfect worship, perfect praise, perfect adoration for our great King and what he's done for us. Unto him who's washed us from our sins by his blood. Oh, my. And let's look here at the determination brought forth in verse 24. Remember, salvation's of the Lord. All of the Lord. Look at the determination brought forth here. He says, Father, I will. That they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. See the words, I will? In the Greek, that means I determine. I determine. Oh my, the determination brought forth here in this verse. Our Lord is proclaiming his will, and we know that his will is the same will as the Father. The same will as the Father. He's setting before the Father his will. And we see salvation for the church is his will. His will. He's saying, this is my will. This is my determination. This is my decision. This is my decision. And it is concerning all the elect of all the ages. What does our Lord determine? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And we will be. You know, every time a saint goes home, this prayer is answered. Isn't that wonderful? Every single time. This part of the prayer is answered when a saint goes home to be with the Lord. Mine. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given. We're going to see him face to face. We're going to see the King of glory. All because of his grace and mercy. So marvel at what's set forth before us here. Our Lord is just about to go to the cross. He's just about to go through the sufferings of the cross to redeem his people from their sins by the shedding of his blood. And then he'll return to glory. The glory which he had before his humiliation, before his decrease. And he's praying for all of us who are the redeemed of the Lord. He's praying for all the blood-washed saints that they would be with him in glory. And every time a saint goes home again, that prayer is answered. That prayer is answered. He gives us back to the Father, beloved, to be in his care. And note this, he says, for thou hast lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is proof that God has loved his people from before the foundation of the world. Because if he's loved Christ from the foundation of the world, then he's loved all who are in Christ from the foundation of the world. We can't fully grasp that, can we? But we believe it by the grace and mercy of God. We believe it. So we see here that it's the Lord Jesus Christ's will, his determination, that we would be with him in glory. And how can we be with him in glory? By the shedding of his precious, precious blood. Substitution and satisfaction. The Lord was the substitute for his people at Calvary's cross, and God is absolutely satisfied. Absolutely satisfied. So satisfied that when God looks at us, those he has clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ, right? He says, I see my son. I don't see your sin. I see Christ's righteousness. My. And let us remember who's praying this prayer. It's none other than the Son of God. The Word of God incarnate, who came to save his people from their sins, and he did it. It is finished. Praise be to God.